You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
It's been a while since Arkansas has played Auburn, and you feel like the Razorbacks have a really good chance to win the game. This series has been one-sided for the last several years. Arkansas won in 2015, but Auburn's won 7 of the last 8. They've won 5 in a row, and a lot of those by blowout scores. That was up until last year, the controversial ending down at Jordan-Hare Stadium. The Razorbacks feel like they've got a really good chance to beat the Tigers Saturday morning at Razorback Stadium, 11 a.m. kickoff on CBS. Matt Jones joined by Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, and Scotty Bordelon from WholeHogSports.com. And Clay, it's interesting to me, I always like to look at the previous year's matchup whenever I'm doing predictions, because I think that a lot of times it's hard to make up ground, say if you've lost by 30 the year before to a team. Arkansas made up a lot of ground on Auburn a year ago, and you feel like they probably made up some more ground between last season and this year. And, you know, you can really kind of see the direction of both programs, I think, over the last couple of years when you look at them in this game. You know, Auburn feels like it's maybe stuck in neutral at best. And of course, Arkansas is really on an upward swing.
Yeah, you talk about beating the two Mississippi schools last year and Tennessee. But to me, the second and third quarter of that Auburn game last year, when Felipe Franks just dominated and he was just ripping them with big plays, running in, passing. They put Ty Clary at offensive guard, and it seemed like that clicked. And that's the period of the season where I gained the most confidence that Sam Pittman was going to be able to get it done, because they were physically standing toe-to-toe with Auburn, and Auburn had just dominated the line of scrimmage the previous 4 or 5 years with that great defensive line. I can remember watching Derrick Brown shed a blocker and run to the sideline and catch Rakeem Boyd. And it's like, well, you can't play these guys. They had the same kind of players that Georgia did. But all at once, you see Arkansas go toe-to-toe with Auburn. He didn't win the game for obvious reasons. We know about the end-of-game gaffe by Jason Autry and the replay ref and Birmingham, all that stuff that's just kind of been rehashed a million times the last 12 months. But it still comes down to you got to protect your punter. You can't have a punt blocked in the end zone. And I think that was ultimately the part of the game that got them beat. But they gave me confidence that Sam Pittman was going to get it done. And I think the Arkansas fan base is the same way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know what my prediction was for last year's Auburn game, but it was probably Auburn, you know, winning pretty comfortably. And, you know, I think Clay's spot on. That was a game where I, you know, really started to believe that the players had bought in to what the coaching staff was selling and preaching, and that the coaching staff really had a lot of faith in the players on the roster. And it's funny, I was looking through the 2019 Auburn Arkansas photo gallery to grab some pictures for the stories that are going online on Saturday. And I went through like a section of like 10 pictures where it's Marlon Davidson, he's eating Rakeem Boyd, and it's Derrick Brown, and he's eating Ben Hicks. And you just don't see those types of guys on Auburn's defense this year. I think Arkansas, they're in a pretty good position right now. I think, you know, if they can flush what's happened the last 2 weeks to get back on the right track. And like we talked about, you know, earlier in the week, this is a big game for Arkansas, just in terms of like, you know, potentially where you're going to go for a bowl game, and a big head-to-head matchup like this. If you get the edge on Auburn, and then you take care of business the rest of the way, you know, you might be sitting prettier than you thought you might be, maybe at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you stay in the polls if you win here, and that's the big part of it. You might, the college football playoff rankings start here pretty soon. Is it this weekend, Matt, or is it the next weekend?
I think it's the next.
Yeah, and you know that's something Arkansas hasn't really. It was kind of interesting. There were for any number of years, you had either Jeff Long or Ken Hatfield on the committee. And I don't know if Hatfield would have had to recuse himself from the going zone, but Jeff Long would have. Well, it never came up really. they weren't a factor. But they might be going forward if they keep winning. And like Scotty said, Greg Sankey determines the SEC bowls. He makes those assignments outside of the access bowls or the playoff committee picks those. But the SEC tie-up bowls, he's going to pick those teams. And the head-to-head matchups are significant. And Scotty, you're right. There's not a Derrick Brown or even a Big Cat Davis, and he's transferred, right? He's at Central Florida with Gus Malzahn now. It's more level playing field. And I'm not saying Auburn doesn't still have some good players, because they do, but this is going to be two teams with comparable talent.
I just think this is such a huge game for Arkansas. Like, if you win this, like I said, you get a little bit of a leg up. You move to 5-2, and it's supposed to be a pretty fun crowd on Saturday. Like, that's pretty exciting. I think that, you know, Sam Pittman said it's sold out. So you could possibly move to 5-2, and then you play UAPB. And so the next week, and then so when those CFP rankings come out, there's a possibility that, you know, a lot of eyeballs can be looking at the screen and seeing a 6-2 Arkansas team. And I don't think anybody, you know, outside of that the building that Sam Pittman runs thought that was possible.
By the way, Arkansas has been ranked one time in the college football poll. One week they were number 25 after they beat Florida in 2016. Then they got beat real bad by LSU the next week, and they've never sniffed the poll since then. By the way, that Florida game in 2016, that was the last time that CBS came to campus. So a little bit of a correlation there. Of course, they're going to be back this weekend for the game. Auburn on offense, I think, looks a little bit different this year. Of course, they're in their first season under new head coach Brian Harsin. Mike Bobo, who's the former Georgia offensive coordinator and Colorado State head coach, is coordinating this offense for Auburn. Under Gus Malzahn, they were a great running team, and they can still run the ball. They've got Tank Bigsby, really good running back. They've got four offensive linemen coming back who I think are seniors, four starters from last season's team. But Clay, this was a team that I always felt really challenged you sideline to sideline under Gus Malzahn, and it feels like this year it's more of a running between the tackles type team.
Yeah, they've also got Jarquez Hunter, who's a freshman, a true freshman, who's actually out rushing Bigsby. Averages 9.9, and I think is a real threat. Maybe a little more speed than Bigsby. Not as much a power guy as Bigsby. You'll have to tackle both of those guys. So they're going to rotate them. But you're right, this is a different Auburn team. It's not the single wing. it's not cross blocking in the offensive line. It's not as much RPO where linemen are going to be downfield and you have to call it. What they do is it's a little bit of a pro passing scheme, but they don't have the wide receivers to make it go. And hence they fired their wide receiver coach in the middle of the season. And it's been interesting to watch them try to run this pro passing scheme, and they lost all their wide receivers. They've got injuries there, and they've had a lot of drops. I think they've had seven or eight against Georgia last week, including one in the end zone. Those guys have just been, it's almost painful to watch. And you just know that at some point they're going to catch some of those passes. But offensively, both teams want to establish the run. Brian Harsin has talked about that this week, that they've been behind because they haven't been able to run the ball early. So I think you're going to see both teams come out, try to play a little smash mouth and see who can establish the line of scrimmage.
Sam Pittman noted that he's got a lot of respect for Mike Bobo, mentioned that he was the offensive coordinator at Georgia. He wasn't there whenever Pittman was the offensive line coach at Georgia, but he said Bobo used to stop by their practices and watch them. Of course, Arkansas fans are familiar with him, given what he did at Colorado State in 2018-2019 when the Razorbacks played them. Their defensive coordinator is Derek Mason, and this is for all the struggles that he had at Vanderbilt. I think a lot of people realize that's Vanderbilt, but this is really one of the well-respected coordinators on the defensive side of the ball in the game.
Yeah, I think when you've watched Vanderbilt play, you got the idea that they may not can score, but you're going to have a tough time moving the ball. And they play solid fundamental football. They're not going to make mistakes. They don't gamble a whole lot. Their players are always in position. And they've got some good players. I mean, if you look at you know, their secondary, I think Smoke Mundy is an all-SEC player. And he will smoke you. I mean, it's the right name. And in fact, he missed last week. I think he got a targeting call in the first quarter against Georgia and had to sit out. So, but he's missed his two halves, and he'll be ready to go Saturday against the Razorbacks. And unfortunately, he's probably fresh.
Yeah, you look at their defensive players. You mentioned him. I think Zakobi McLean, really good linebacker. Owen Popoe is a linebacker who's played really well. And Roger McCreary is a cornerback to really watch for the Tigers. So they've got some players. This is not a team that's void of talent. On the Arkansas side, there is some question this week. I know we've all heard the chatter about Jalen Catalon and his availability. We don't know if he's going to be able to play. We haven't been able to say any, you know, one way or the other. Clay, if Jalen Catalon can't play, what do you think that does to the Razorbacks secondary?
Well, two things. You lose a voice. And when I say that, he's the guy that, you know, you get the calls from the sideline, and then the offense changes their set. They, you know, move a tight end, or they send a guy in motion, and you've got to make adjustments of who's got who. And, you know, the assignments change a little bit, and you might, you know, have to declare one side the strong side. He's the guy that does that after the signals come in. Now, I think Simeon Blair can do it too, but he's the consistent voice in the back of the defense. Grant Morgan is for, you know, the front seven. So, but you got to make a choice. Do you add another safety and you go that way? I think Arkansas, you know, even before they knew that Catalon could play or not, was tinkering with maybe going with another guy up front, you know, another lineman. And if you do that, you know, and I've always heard Barry Odom talk about, you put your best 11 on the field, and their best 11 is often included six defensive backs. They had more defensive backs than linemen. Well, if you take Jalen Catalon out of the mix, well, that might mean that your best 11 includes a defensive lineman. Your next best player is not a safety. Now, I think Jaden Johnson is going to be a great player. He hasn't gotten a lot of snaps. I think you'll see him get more Saturday, but I don't think you suddenly give him 60 or 70. I think you take him from what he's been playing, 5 to 7. Maybe you take him to 20. So I just you know, Miles Slusher has been hurt. So I think that you might see a difference in scheme to get your best 11 on the field, as opposed to just inserting another safety.
Yeah. I think there's a decent chance that you could, you know, if Catalon can't play, that Jaden Johnson sees an increase in reps. And like Clay said, it's not going to be, you know, 2/3 of the defensive snaps that, you know, Arkansas is out there. But, you know, listen to Joe Fouché talk about Jaden in the preseason. Like, they call him Cam Chancellor just because he's built like, you know, the former Seahawks defensive back who was, you know, one of the more physical guys that, you know, receivers didn't want to cross the middle on him because they knew that they would put him on their back. So I think he's an option there. I think it's, you possibly put Jaden Johnson out there if you're more concerned about Tank Bigsby, Jarquest Hunter, and that Auburn running game. If you see, you know, Bo Nix having some success in the passing game, which we don't know if that's, you know, really going to be a huge issue just because Auburn's had, you know, trouble at receiver with drops and whatnot, like Clay mentioned earlier. I think you could see like maybe a smaller defensive back. Maybe, I don't know what Slusher's availability is, but he might be an ideal guy that you stick back there. Trent Gordon is another name that Sam Pittman mentioned earlier this week. You know, he's been battling injury, I think, since, you know, early in the season. He's a kind of a bigger body guy that, you know, was getting second team safety reps in the preseason. And so he could be a potential option for you there in the secondary too.
Gordon hasn't played since the Texas game. Pittman said that there's a chance he could play this week.
Yeah, Malik Chavis is the other guy that's played some nickel, and you know, they cross train. You know, the good thing about this secondary is that in the spring they cross trained a lot of guys at different spots. So moving somebody from, say, nickel to, you know, maybe one of the safety spots where he's worked a little bit, Chavis might can do that too. So they have some versatility. But you know, this is the worry that you're having to slide guys around in something new they haven't seen or ripped in practice that much. You know, they'll have a bust. They had some busts against Ole Miss. So that's the concern this week, is they turn somebody loose.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
One of the big keys for Arkansas this week as they play Auburn is going to be how they contain Bo Nix and his scrambling ability. It's been pretty fascinating to watch him play this year. I think part of this might be due to the new offense. It's maybe giving him a little bit more freedom to make plays and outside of the pocket. But Clay, this is... I know I've heard you say don't compare him to Johnny Manziel, but it does have a little bit of a Manziel feel, the way that he's able to extend plays, and the plays that he made against LSU were some of the best plays that we've seen outside of the pocket by a quarterback this year.
Yeah, he's got the ability to spin and change speeds, and he has some elusiveness about him, and this kind of that mad look that, okay, I'm just going to keep turning and spinning and running. And I don't care how much ground I give, I'll gobble it back up, and then I'm going to throw it. And he does seem to want to scramble to throw as opposed to scramble to run. Part of the problem has been the collapsing nature of the interior of their offensive line. Their center, who's a veteran player, just doesn't hold his spot to a bull rush, which, you know, watch out for John Ridgeway, Taurean Carter and Isaiah Nichols, and, you know, those guys that play inside, because that's the vulnerability of the Auburn offensive line in pass pro, not so much the tackles. Their left tackle, which is the matchup that you'd think Arkansas would gain an advantage, has been pretty good. You know, Trey Williams is probably going to have a good matchup opposite him. But that center, Brohm, is, he's given up pressure. And so, you know, maybe Arkansas is going to run some linebackers through there, but you got, you know, the worry is that you let Bo Nix out of the pocket, and that seems to be where he's more dangerous. He doesn't do as well just sitting in there. It's just a week where, you know, you go four-man rush and really try to overwhelm him and just suffocate him with the pocket collapsing. Now, I'm not sure Arkansas can do that, but that might be part of the plan this week.
Scotty Sam Pittman said in his radio show Wednesday night, said one of the things they've done this week is that about two out of every four plays have been scramble drill. They're really preparing for how to keep containment with Nix.
Yeah, like the big deal with Bo is just, you know, his impromptu playmaking has been pretty fun to watch, you know, the last few weeks, you know, especially more so against LSU. Obviously, there was a member of, I think it was Auburn's media crew that called the touchdown pass where he made like four guys miss and then he threw in the face of like two more defenders for a touchdown. They called that the scrambleia. I thought that was pretty funny. Arkansas just got to limit those kinds of plays. Like you've got to find some way to just get him on the ground or knock him out of bounds. I think that's the key to the whole game for me. Like even more so than possibly, you know, trying to limit Tank Bigsby, who I think is a lot like Dominic Johnson for Arkansas, but maybe with just a bit more speed. And I think Arkansas can limit him because I think they understand, you know, where they went wrong trying to limit his production last year. But I think just Bo's just, he's been pretty good thinking on his feet, literally. And, you know, Arkansas has got to contain receivers in the secondary. I think they've done a decent job of that when they faced, you know, more scrambling type quarterbacks. Maybe not so much last week with those two explosive plays, but, you know, you see a lot of quarterbacks standing back, you know, earlier in the season, kind of standing back in the pocket and they're just kind of standing there, just kind of bouncing and they're looking for somebody to break free. And Bo Nix is going to run left or right, or maybe step up in the pocket and, you know, try to make things happen. I just think they've got to make their presence felt, that front seven. They may have to pop him to just kind of, you know, let him know that, you know, the things that have, you know, led to success for you in previous weeks, that's not going to fly here.
One of the things that I want to see from the Arkansas defense, and you're right, Scotty, Bo Nix is the deal. But after the way Arkansas gave up running plays the last 2 weeks against Georgia and Ole Miss, they got to stop the run. That's their you know, MO of this team. We're going to run it. We're going to stop the run. And I think that's what both teams are coming in here saying. We're not going to let you run on us. And we'll see which team can do that. And then I think, you know, then it goes to the pass next. But I think if Ole Miss doesn't stop the run, Arkansas will run it down their throat for 60 minutes. Same thing goes. If Arkansas doesn't stop the run, Auburn is going to continue to run it. And I think that this is, you know, a game of willpower, you know, whose will. And I think it's, you know, you've got quarterbacks that can make plays, but I think it starts with, you know, if one of these teams can hold the other to 120 or 130 rushing, they're probably going to win the game.
I would be kind of interested to know, you know, who was acting as Bo Nix this week in that scramble drill. Because if it's a guy like Malik Hornsby, you know, he could give you probably as good of a look as anybody that Arkansas has. And, you know, I think Arkansas's defense will come in, you know, maybe better prepared for a guy like Bo if Malik is the guy who's giving them looks this week.
If Malik was the guy giving them the looks, their defense is going to be really tired. I'm just joking. John Stephen Jones is a pretty good scrambler too.
Yeah, right? I had that same thought that, yeah. I don't think John Stephen's got Bo Nix's speed, but you watch his highlights from high school, they're pretty comparable, I think, to what you see Nix doing right now. Prediction time. There are seven SEC games this week, SEC versus SEC. It's the second week in a row that's happened. You can make the argument that there were eight SEC games last week with the Texas OU Red River game. I'm sure the SEC would have loved to have claimed that one with how entertaining that was. We won't pick all of them. You've got Vanderbilt, South Carolina. That's the battle for 13th, I think, in the league. Really, this week, it feels like that there's only a couple of games where if either team wins, it doesn't feel like an upset. That is to say that, you know, it feels like, you know, these are all kind of one-sided games. We'll start with 11 a.m. on ESPN, Florida and LSU. There's going to be three 11 a.m. games, by the way, for SEC teams: Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, Missouri. Florida and LSU, they're in the Bayou, Clay.
Yeah, I don't think LSU has the horses anymore. To just the total athleticism of the Florida team is superior to LSU. But having said that, Florida has been kind of an enigma. You don't know what you're going to get from them week to week. And Dan Mullen, I mean, I've heard this over and over this year, more than last year. He seems like a great coordinator and not a really good head coach. Yeah, I'm not sure what we'd say about Ed Orgeron. I don't think he's a coordinator. I don't think he's a head coach. Maybe he's a defensive line coach. So I'll go with the coordinator over the defensive line coach. I'll take Florida.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this segment all week and how I'm going to, you know, give my predictions with a little bit less conviction than the past, because I've been loud wrong the last several weeks, especially about A&M Alabama last week. Man, I was wrong on that game. I like Florida in this game. I think their running game is really good. And if they do opt to throw the ball, you know, LSU now is without Derek Stingley and Eli Ricks, who I think was an All-American in a lot of people's minds in the preseason. So I'll go with Florida.
I think Boutte, the receiver's out for LSU too. It feels like things are kind of falling apart for them. Mentioned 11 a.m., Texas A&M's at Missouri. The Aggies coming off that big win over Alabama. Can they avoid a hangover?
A&M Missouri is interesting in that I think A&M will run the ball till the cows come home. I don't think Missouri can stop the run. And I think Isaiah Spiller will and A-Chain will have a field day. So A&M is going to they're going to celebrate for the second straight week.
I'm on board with Clay. I think A&M will win this game. But I think last week, looking at this game, I probably would have said A&M is going to run away with it. So I'm going to say that A&M wins, but it's going to be tighter than we expect.
I am not impressed with Missouri. The Boston College game, the Tennessee game, I think that's a program that's really on the decline. It got to feel like Barry Odom. It's got to be kind of sick watching what's happening at Missouri, because that was a team that was always built on strong defense, real tough line play, and you're not seeing that continue under Drinkwitz. And I've got real questions about Missouri's future under Eli Drinkwitz. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to get the job done there. Alabama's at Mississippi State. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. The cowbells will be ringing, but Clay, we don't see too many times that Alabama has to bounce back from a loss, and I think just about every time they do, they win.
Well, they win anyway, period. End of story. I mean, I think that they'll have some interesting practices this week. You know, the story was they didn't practice well the week of the A&M game, and that Nick Saban was uneasy about how they were going to play, and of course that turned out to be prophetic. You know, he didn't think they were going to play well, then probably nobody should. Yeah, but I bet you they are a different team this week. Have some sharpness about them. They don't drop passes. They don't pass it when they're at the goal line. They'll run it in. I mean, Mississippi State, I just don't has the talent to stay with Alabama. And this is a series that not very much success for Mississippi State through the year.
Yeah, I like Alabama in this game. I don't think they'll have much issue with Mississippi State. I remember I was reading a little bit on Twitter, and I saw that one of Alabama's writers had a story about how, you know, Alabama didn't completely take advantage of all the opportunities they had at Texas A&M to run the football, to put points on the board. I think there's going to be a big emphasis on, you know, getting Brian Robinson and those Alabama tailbacks the ball this week. I think they're just going to maul Mississippi State.
Alabama has not lost to Mississippi State since 2007. Alabama leads that series 83-18-3, and that includes some vacated games that Mississippi State gets to count as wins. So, yeah, it's been very one-sided in that series. A lot of people don't realize how close those two schools are. I think Tuscaloosa to Starkville is only about an hour and a half drive.
Mississippi State counted, just like Vanderbilt did, of the Alabama fans coming across the state line to fill up their stadium. And sometimes, you know, 75% of the fans were Alabama. That's not happening now. But there'll still be a dominant group of Alabama fans where they feel like it's a home game.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, you go to Vanderbilt, it almost feels like a I hate to say a bowl game, but you know, it's pretty split, and a lot of times the opposing team will outdraw Vanderbilt. Ole Miss is at Tennessee. This is a 6:30 kickoff on the SEC Network. It's Lane Kiffin's return to Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have said pick this game in August, you'd say, okay, name the score, Ole Miss. I think it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, that you've got a situation where Ole Miss has had to get up back-to-back weeks, and Tennessee's laying in the weeds waiting for this one. And I will take the points and take Tennessee, right? Ole Miss favored by how many?
I'm not sure what the line is on it. Yeah, I will say this. Whatever over-under is, go over, because these two offenses can really score.
Yeah, and the defenses cannot stop either one. You're right. I've got this feeling that Tennessee might throw the upset. You know, I mean, it's hard to tell about Tennessee because some of the teams they played are really weak, and this would be a different type of opponent. So maybe I think we're going to find out a lot about Tennessee. We know Ole Miss is a good team. Maybe Tennessee is too.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Tennessee too. I think they're finally starting to figure things out on offense, and they've got a quarterback, you know, that can be, you know, consistently productive. I think this is maybe the best game of the week in the SEC. Just the two teams are, I think they're pretty evenly matched. Tennessee could possibly find its way into the top 25 if they win this game. I know they had an ugly home loss to Pittsburgh, but that seems so long ago, just the way that they've played the last couple of weeks. Just a side note, if you have a chance to listen to the SEC teleconference, go and listen to Lane Kiffin this week. It was the best 15 minutes, Tom said, probably in the history of the teleconference. He was so open about, you know, his exit from Tennessee. It's, you know, he shed some light on some stuff that not a lot of coaches would talk about. So that, you know, that kind of made me even more excited for this game, just to kind of see how he's going to be received in Neyland again.
Kentucky at Georgia. I feel like Kentucky's a team that's really built itself as a line of scrimmage, defensive minded team, very similar to Georgia, but this still feels like a mismatch. 2:30 kickoff on CBS.
Yeah, this is another team that we're going to learn a lot about. And I think Georgia has better linemen than Kentucky, but Kentucky plays the way Georgia plays. Strength against strength, a little more strength, a little more athletic ability for Georgia. I think they win, but they may not cover.
I'm going to go with Georgia, and I don't think it'll be particularly close. I think Georgia's got it's kind of a fascinating way that they just, week by week, they just kind of humble people. And I think, you know, Kentucky's probably going to get snapped back to reality a little bit.
The last two games between these teams, the final score, Georgia 14-3, Georgia 21-0. It feels like it might be one of those low scoring games where Kentucky may not score a touchdown. Finally, Arkansas and Auburn. Can the Razorbacks break this losing streak against the Tigers this week?
Yeah, I think they do. And I think it's going to be a fun day in Razorback Stadium. You got a sellout crowd. By the way, it's a sellout, but it's a loose sellout. If you want to go, I bet you get there in the morning and find a ticket. I think it'll be a fun day for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I think it just, like I said earlier, I think it comes down to just limiting Bo Nix and, you know, his impromptu playmaking with his feet. I think Arkansas can do that based on the looks that they got this week and the work in that scramble drill. I'm expecting, you know, a little bit of offensive carryover from Arkansas. I think KJ Jefferson has another nice day.
You know, in the preseason, everybody talked about Arkansas, Texas, and I think that was because that was the second game on the schedule. I think if you ask the players, this is the game that they were looking forward to the most. They have downplayed it all week. You know, oh, we're not thinking about what – bull. I think that's all Sam Pittman's going to be talking about in their pregame speech. I think that they've had this game circled ever since October 10th of last year, and I think they're going to come out and play really well against Auburn. It should be interesting to see if they can snap this win streak. Like I said in the open, I think this is the best chance Arkansas has had to beat the Tigers in quite some time. Go to wholehogsports.com before, during, and after the game this weekend. We'll have plenty of coverage. Also got coverage of fall baseball, and we'll have previews and recaps of the Razorbacks red-white basketball game at Barnhill Arena this weekend. We'll be back next week with a podcast to recap Arkansas-Auburn, and we'll look forward next week to Arkansas-UAPB the best we can. For Scotty Bordelon and Clay Henry, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The preceding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.